shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. Well, at least we don't have to talk about the pandemic today, because there's another story that has pushed the pandemic off the front pages and off the mainstream media broadcasters. Of course, I'm talking about Black Lives Matter. There is so much to talk about in this podcast, and I'm delighted to say I've got London Assembly member David Curtin to discuss what is going on.
Shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, John.
Let's start, if we can, then, with Black Lives Matter. Do you support the campaign?
No, absolutely not. Because it started up again because of the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And of course, that was a horrible thing to happen. Whether it was due to racism or not is a moot point. We won't know that until actually the police officer gets a free and a fair trial in Minneapolis. We can't say. But this has been used to perpetrate a false narrative of systemic racism. It's accusing the United States and now the United Kingdom and other countries in Europe of being guilty of systemic institutional racism, which is simply not true. And it's instigating all kinds of trouble on the streets between people who are innocent. You're getting businesses looted in America. You're getting black people killed in America. You're getting a policewoman thrown off her horse because it was made to bolt and she was seriously injured because of this rioting mob. You're getting people hurling abuse at the police, defacing statues of Winston Churchill, and now throwing a statue of Edward Colston into the harborside at Bristol. Whatever he did in his life, it shouldn't have been done that way. And you're getting Queen Victoria's statue in Leeds being defaced. And where is this going to end?
Okay, but let me just pick you up on that. Surely you have to accept there have been too many racist incidents in America, and we'll move to the UK in a moment, concerning the police and black men in particular. It is of a concern, isn't it?
Well, it is concerning, but if you look at the statistics, there have been far more white people who have been victims of police brutality in the United States than black people. And I think what the people in charge of the mainstream media do is they pick on a particular case, they freeze it, they personalize it, and they're using it to polarize society into whip up animosity between the races. And this simply isn't the right thing to do. Yes, there is police brutality. I accept that, absolutely. But it's both black and white people and Hispanic people are victims of that in the United States. I mean, there was another man who died in exactly the same circumstances as George Floyd did in Minneapolis, a white man. I can't remember his name, but it was in Florida. It was a white man, and exactly the same thing happened to him. He died after a policeman put a knee on his neck for a number of minutes, but there was absolutely no reporting of that whatsoever. So the media is being absolutely selective in what it chooses for its stories, and it's using it to amplify this narrative that there needs to be reparations for some kind of systemic racial injustice. And I reject that media narrative.
Okay, let me come in there then and ask you this question. As a black man yourself, or a person of mixed race and a London Assembly member, have you not faced racism, either within your political life, your social life? I mean, we've had so many people coming forward saying the way they get treated by the police is different to their white colleagues in the UK. Has that happened to you?
When I was younger, there was racism. Absolutely. It was 70s, early 80s when I was a child growing up. Yes, I did experience racism, but I found that by the 90s, 1980s, that had all gone away and things had completely turned around. And, you know, there was far more tolerance in a good sense, that people, you know, they tolerated each other and accepted each other. And the whole sort of narrative about, you know, you're this race, you're that race, seemed to go away. You know, I remember in the 90s just being accepted as a person. I didn't really think about race whatsoever. You know, just everyone got on as an individual. But now it's come back, but it's the opposite way now, if you like. I mean, there's the sort of narrative going on that white people are guilty of crimes from 200, 300 years ago and need to pay for those crimes. And so the whole sort of issue of race is being whipped up and inflamed again. This time, I think, by the left wing, the far left of politics. And it's a very, very dangerous thing to do.
Is Britain a racist country? And even if you don't think that, or you do think that, are there racists living in Britain?
No, it's not a racist country. It's not a systemically racist country. This is one of the best places in the world to be a black person, a person of colour, an ethnic minority person, whatever you like to call us. It's a very, very good place. I mean, there's equal opportunities for all. There's freedom for all. Everyone can say what they like. That's actually going now because of hate speech laws, you know, not sort of to help anyone who's a victim of racism, but just to close down people with conservative views. But yes, there are individual racists in this country. Of course there are. There is still, you know, what you might call a far right. I don't particularly think that's a very good label for the far right, because, you know, Hitler was actually on the left. He was a National Socialist. But, you know, what gets called the far right, there are people who are a very small minority of people who, you know, join these groups like National Action and Combat 18, who are white supremacists, white ethno-nationalists, who are willing to take violent action. But they're very, very small in number. But you do get on the other side, the people in Antifa, the organizers in Black Lives Matter are seriously racist themselves against white people. And there's not just a small minority of white supremacists, and they're deplorable, but there are black supremacists as well. And we need to recognize that racism is a two-way street. Both directions are wrong. It's a very small minority in both cases, but we need to stamp that out in equal measure and stop stoking up this kind of narrative of racial conflict, which is going on at the moment.
Okay, so now let's talk about the events of last weekend. Should that protest have ever been allowed when we think about the pandemic that we're all living through? Your views?
Well, my view of the measures taken to combat the coronavirus pandemic differ from what the government and the scientists in SAGE are saying. I think they underestimated it back in January and February when taking measures would have been useful, and then sometime in the middle of March flipped to the absolutely opposite extreme, and when it was too late, they locked down the country and said we have to have social distancing, close down shops and pubs and businesses, and stay off the streets. I mean, I don't agree with the erosion of civil liberties and the removal of the right of freedom of assembly from the United Kingdom. So, I mean, my personal view is that protests should still be allowed to take place. I don't agree with the whole lockdown measures. But if you do agree with them, and if you are enforcing them, and it is the law of the land at the moment, even though I don't agree that it should be, but it is the law of the land, and if you are therefore enforcing the law of the land, then under the Coronavirus Act and regulations, these protests are illegal. So, you know, if the police are clamping down on a very small anti-lockdown protest in Hyde Park, which I observed and which Piers Corbyn spoke at and was arrested, the police were very, very heavy-handed in their response to 100 or so people protesting peacefully in Hyde Park, but they let this menacing mob take over control of Whitehall and Trafalgar Square and Parliament Square and the space outside the American embassy with no consequences whatsoever for people who were engaging in vandalism and violence. And so there's an absolute inconsistency with the response to the two different demonstrations that took place, you know, the two types of demonstrations which have been taking place over the last 2 weeks.
So where does the book stop there then? Is it with the Prime Minister? Is it with Sadiq Khan, the London Mayor? Is it with Cressida Dick of Scotland Yard? Should they have said, these protests, we understand why you want to do it, we believe in the right to protest, but at the moment, because of this pandemic, it isn't going to happen? Because that's effectively what they did with Hyde Park with, as you say, Piers Corbyn. Your opinion?
Yeah, they completely closed down the demonstration with Piers Corbyn in Hyde Park. I mean, all of those people you mentioned have been wrong in some capacity. Sadiq Khan, let's start with him, the London mayor. I mean, he seems to be very supportive of people going out and protesting. He says, I understand your anger, I understand your rage. And he hasn't specifically said, as far as I can recall, that the protests are unlawful and people shouldn't be protesting. But you need a very, very strong message from the mayor of London to say, this is wrong. Don't go out on the streets because I think that the coronavirus regulations need to be enforced. He hasn't given that message whatsoever. Now, Cressida Dick, first of all, said that actually going in and policing this and dispersing the crowds would perhaps lead to negative consequences. So first of all, she seemed to indicate the police were afraid to go in and do anything about it. And then a couple of days later, she said, oh, well, they're unlawful. But by that time, nobody was listening to her anyway. And Boris, where's Boris been? I mean, he seems to have been largely silent on this.
To be fair, he made a video, didn't he, on the Sunday evening. I personally feel that was too little too late. What do you think?
Yeah, well, if this started on Wednesday, I mean, if you're the Prime Minister and you're waiting 4 days to say something about it, and then first it's on Wednesday, then on Saturday, the crowd got violent. A policewoman was knocked off her horse, as I said earlier. And then you wait another day. So there's another protest and the statue's been destroyed in Bristol and the statue of Winston Churchill's been defaced for a second day in a row in London. Why are you waiting so long to say something if you're the Prime Minister? And why are you not saying, you know, to the police officers, don't get down on your knees? Because, you know, there's this very, very strange symbolic gesture which is going on, that the police are taking a knee with the protesters, which is really a symbol of subservience to this left-wing agenda.
Well, it's interesting you talk about taking a knee, because obviously they did do it on the Saturday. Cressida Dick has now said, or the Met Police have said, they mustn't do it again. Other forces are doing it in Scotland and indeed in Milton Keynes. So why are you against the take of the knee? And do you think, if anything, that gave a bit of succour, a little bit of encouragement to, let's face it as well, the minority of people who rioted later on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, of course. And this was videoed and people got into the video with the police and Whitehall, who were doing it on Saturday, and they were loving it. I mean, they were almost lapping this up. They'd got the police to take a knee, and whether that was either through intimidation or whether it was, you know, the police decided that they were going to support these protesters. I don't know the motivations for the individual police officer for saying this. But, you know, Cressida Dick turned around afterwards and said it's wrong to do that. So, you know, that's fine. At least she was a little bit late, but, you know, she got there in the end. But it's something that the police should not be doing. It's a political symbol. The police should not be making any political statements, whether they're verbal or physical. They should just be policing, and they should be stopping vandalism and violence, not getting down and doing the same things as protesters.
Okay, thank you for that. That's David Curtin, Shooting from the Lip, with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. Don't dare go away. In the second part of the programme, I'm going to ask him, would he take a knee? I want to talk about those police tactics, and I want to talk about the statues. Which statues should come down, and how should we decide to do that? Mayor Khan has decided to set up a commission, but these monuments are national monuments. It can't be just down to Mayor Khan, can it? All of these questions coming to David Curtin straight after this break. Please don't go away. This is John Gaunt. This is Shooting From The Lip with my special guest, Mr. David Curtin.
Shooting From The Lip.
Hi, welcome back to the second part of Shooting From The Lip. My special guest today, London Assembly member, Mr. David Curtin. David, as a man of mixed race, would you take the knee?
I would not take the knee because I don't support the political agenda of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Look, if you look at the website of Black Lives Matter, as I said earlier, it's about combating systemic racism, and I don't accept that this is a racist country, either the UK or the USA. But there are other political agendas and policies that this movement has. I mean, there's the usual left-wing patter about smashing capitalism and destroying the system, but also disrupting the family unit and promoting queer theory and radical feminism. And now these are all far-left cultural Marxist agendas, and I do not support them. I am completely opposed to them, and I will not take the knee with Black Lives Matter. And I would advise anybody who's got a mind and a thinking mind and who wants to preserve this country, our sovereignty, our nation, our culture and our heritage, not to take a knee either.
There has been demands for President Trump to do it and that this would heal. We've had Keir Starmer, leader of the opposition, do it in this country, although he was against the pulling down of the statue. I mean, should Trump or should Boris make this symbolic gesture?
No, they shouldn't make this gesture. It would be symbolic, but I mean, it's an interesting thing you said in your question that some people are suggesting it would heal, but I don't think it would. I mean, you've got here a Marxist, Maoist cultural movement which is aiming to smash culture and history. This is not going to heal if you get down on your knees. It will be a symbol of subservience to this left-wing agenda. It's nothing to do with healing between white people and black people. As I said before, this is not a racist country. Most people, regardless of color, get on very, very well. And, you know, like Martin Luther King said, we should be viewing people for the content of their character, not for the color of their skin. So this is all about perpetuating tensions between races, tensions between people who have different colors of skin. We need to stop doing that and start just looking at people as individuals again, like people we did, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s. We need to get away from this race hatred narrative.
Okay, let's talk about police tactics for a moment then. You wanted the police to be tougher, but when they're faced with a crowd like that, if they had gone in hard, would it not have become a riot situation both on Saturday and Sunday, both in London and in Bristol? And also, what do you think about the statues? Should the police have put a ring of security around our major monuments? I mean, it's hardly a surprise that these protests would turn this way. We've had it before, people swinging on the flag at the cenotaph, etc. So did the police get it wrong?
I hats off to the police who were there. They're doing a very, very difficult job, and they're London's finest, you know, and they're outnumbered by the sheer number of people who were there on Whitehall and Parliament Square, which is very, very difficult when you have a few hundred police and you have a few thousands protesters, and some of them who turned into a mob, some of them turned into using thuggish behavior. I mean, they were very, very restrained for a long time. And then when this did turn nasty and the mob started getting violent, I think that they handled it very well and they needed to pacify that as best as they could. But there was another situation, I'm sure you've seen it outside the Houses of Parliament, where there was a group of policemen and all they could do was run away because there was so many people pursuing them and chasing them down the street. I mean, it looks like something out of Benny Hill, but it's far, far more serious than that because there's a complete loss of law and order. So, you know, they were being very, very restrained. It's very difficult, but, you know, this has got to come to an end somehow, and it needs political leadership. It needs those people we mentioned, Boris Johnson, Sadiq Khan, Cressida Dick, to say this is wrong. Vandalizing statues is wrong. assaulting people is wrong, turning violent is wrong, you must not do it, and if you do it, you're going to be treated with the full force of the law and we're going to throw the book at you.
Yeah, but there's a real danger, isn't there, David? I mean, the Football Lads Alliance, the Democratic Lads Alliance, they're talking, and there's already some of it's already happened, that they're going to put a ring of steel around these monuments and statues. There's a real danger that if any more protests happen this weekend, that this could become very dangerous for everybody.
It is. You're absolutely right. And there's already talk about this Football Lads Alliance coming down to protect the monuments in central London. You know, I can understand feelings on both sides. I mean, I do understand the feelings of people who are black and they don't want to see statues of slave traders around, but there's democratic ways of getting them moved. You don't go and vandalize these statues and tear them down with a mob, because then you have the rule of the mob. But I also understand, you know, that people want to protect the cenotaph and want to protect the statue of Winston Churchill, because these have great significance for our nation, and people who vandalize them are symbolically making an attack on the nation itself. And so people who are patriots, people who care about our culture and our history, want to defend them. And when you have a mob that's getting out of hand and the police seem unable to deal with it and to prevent the vandalism, to prevent the violence, then you get people saying, well, I'm going to take the law into my own hands. I understand that. It's wrong. I don't want it to happen. But unless the police leaders like Khan and Dick and also the Prime Minister gets a grip on this, things could easily spiral out of control. I hope they won't. I pray that they won't. But we're in a very dangerous situation, and we need real leadership that will say that we honour our country's history and culture and heritage. We need people to stand up and say, I'm proud of my country. I'm proud of Winston Churchill. I will not let his statue be defaced. We're not having that from anybody at the moment. I don't see, maybe Priti Patel, she seems like the one person.
But the accusation, David, is that Winston Churchill was a racist, that Queen Victoria was a racist, that our whole imperial past is effectively racist. So this target of 60 statues, like they've taken that one down in East London, that was a pretty easy choice, I guess. On one level, he was a slaver, take it down. But where do you come when you get to Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square?
Yeah, the thing is here, where do you draw the line? This is the question. I mean, you know, the person in East London, Robert Milligan, he was a slave trader. I mean, to be honest, I'd never heard of Robert Milligan in my whole life. I never heard of him until yesterday. I mean, personally, I mean, I don't really have any strong opinions one way or the other. But like you say, Queen Victoria's statue in Leeds got defaced. And, you know, this is absolutely wrong. Where are you going? The University of Liverpool have decided to rename Gladstone Hall because they've got some small issue with William Gladstone, who was a prime minister in the late 19th century. Where does it end? Where are you, and when are people going to start then moving on from statues to attacking real live people?
Well, Sadiq Khan, he set up a commission to look at the statues. What do you make of that?
Well, he's entitled to his opinion, but I mean, I will oppose his commission. And to be honest, when the finances of the Greater London Authority are shot to pieces, both because of the coronavirus and because of mismanagement with Crossrail, and there's a policy on not increasing fares. It seems a really poor choice to spend money on looking at removing statues when actually the GLA doesn't have any jurisdiction over statues, though the jurisdiction there belongs to the boroughs. I mean, that one that was removed in East London, I mean, that was under the jurisdiction of Tower Hamlets borough.
But David, of course, many of those demonstrators and the people who actually pulled down the statue would say they tried the democratic way and nobody listened. These rows over Rhodes and Colston have been going on for ages. They've taken it into their own hands. We all applauded when they did that with Saddam Hussein's statue in Baghdad.
Well, you don't always get your way in a democracy. I mean, democracy is the rule of the people, the rule of the majority. So I think what you've got here is people people going onto the street, which is a loud minority who have got a far left agenda, and they are demanding that we change certain things in our history, that we erase certain parts of our history, whether it's good or bad, then they want to circumvent democracy. Look, democracy means that you go through a process, you elect people into government that you want to be there, and then they act on your behalf. But you know, if people then don't get the people that they want elected into office, it's not then the case that you have free rein to go on the street and vandalize things and tear things down. That's not democracy. That's the rule of the mob, and we need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Okay, let's move on to the wider issue. I think earlier you were talking about a sort of cowardice from people, maybe those three leaders we talked about. But what about the big corporations? Everybody appears to be bending a knee. Everybody is showing that they really believe in Black Lives Matter. And also some people are losing their jobs and their careers and even their TV shows. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, many of the big corporations, perhaps the BBC, you know, is an example, are not just afraid of the agenda. They're fully behind it and fully supporting the agenda and in the vanguard of pushing these Marxist agendas. I mean, you see the sort of politically correct way that everything is framed in the mainstream media, and many other corporations frame things that way as well. I mean, either because they're full of people who have been brainwashed at university into accepting the far left agendas, or because they can make money out of it or think that they make money out of it. But, you know, for some of them, it's coming back to bite them.
Do you actually think the coverage by the BBC has been biased?
I think most people in the country think it's been biased. And, you know, we've got this defund the BBC campaign, which has taken off. And I think this is the time for that. The BBC really needs now to be split up and sold off, and we need to end the TV license so that we stop paying for our own propaganda.
Okay, whilst we're on entertainment, what do you make of Little Britain? I never really liked it anyway, but what do you make of that being taken off and banned and gone with the wind?
You know, the same as you, I don't particularly enjoy Little Britain. I never thought it was that entertaining. But, you know, I mean, this is interesting. I mean, Gone with the Wind obviously is a classic. I don't know why they've taken it off. Maybe they consider it misogynist or bourgeoisie or something. But, you know, Little Britain as well. I mean, there's no reason to take these things off.
What about the fact they blacked up? Did you not find that offensive?
I didn't watch it, to be honest, but I don't find that offensive, you know, to be honest. It was part of a comedy routine. And, you know, I think you've got to look at the spirit behind it. You had this Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, blacked up when he was younger, and he got a free pass by the mainstream media. But obviously, if someone else did who wasn't a darling of the liberal left, then they would get treated very, very differently and pilloried. And so you've got the people in Little Britain got a free pass on that until now because they were part of the liberal metropolitan establishment, but they've now turned on them and cancelled them.
Okay, so people are being cancelled left, right and centre. Only got about 60 seconds left. Are you optimistic that we can find a way to heal this? Does it need healing?
I think there's a majority of people in the country, a silent majority, who are absolutely appalled at what's going on. The rule of the mob on the street, the violence, the vandalism, and the seeming silence and quietness from the Prime Minister. I mean, there is time, there is room now for change. Maybe we need a new political party which really is conservative rather than a fake conservative party which will stand up for the rule of law and for protecting and preserving our culture and our heritage.
That's David Curtin. Thank you very much indeed. What do you make of what he had to say? He was certainly shooting from the lip. Do we need a new political party? I'd like to hear your views on that. I'll be back next week with another guest who's just going to be like David Curtin, London Assembly member, giving his opinions in a very forthright manner. You've been listening to The John Gaunt Show. It's Shooting from the Lip, and it's Sputnik International.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.